In an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. Life changes indeed, and I am so excited to be hosting Life Changes with Filippo today for several reasons. Number one, because I love this show, and I love the fact that life changes and we talk about it and are not afraid to look at the hard stuff, which end up being the right stuff or the good stuff. And also because we have a guest on that I've been looking forward to having on, Nanise Ellis, who is an awakening facilitator, a master results coach, a speaker, and an author, and so much more. And can't wait to bring Nanise back on in just a few minutes. But I said back because I was talking to her earlier. That's so funny. Now I'm being transparent. And that's part of Life Changes and part of live radio. And the other reason I'm excited about this show is because this weekend something happened to me that I couldn't wait to share with all of you. As a matter of fact, I started to share with all of you on the on Facebook and on Twitter, and it's interesting some of the responses that I started to get. Well, so this weekend I was asked to sing at a festival, kind of like a last-minute thing. I don't know if somebody canceled out or they felt like they needed another act, or they heard me sing somewhere recently, and they said, that's what it was. They said, we should have him in the festival. So they just put me in, and I thought that was kind of fun, but the funny thing is they had an existing band, and I just came in to fill in as the headline singer. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So I worked with this band that I didn't know before, and one of the songs that they requested was Bad Moon Rising, CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival. And it's interesting because I was singing some rock and roll songs, it was something I was looking forward to doing because it's part of the new repertoire that I'm doing more and more of, and I couldn't wait to do it in front of an audience. And when they said Bad Moon Rising, I've played with that at home on the piano because it's such a great groove, and the song really moves, but I recently stopped because of the words. And I couldn't sing those words anymore because I knew words have power and that I didn't want to be putting out those words out into the ether. And I didn't want to be feeling that energy inside me. So when they asked me to do it, I said, you know, I'd rather not because of the words. And the band leader says, you know, it's an upbeat song and we need a great upbeat song and everybody loves it and you do it, I'm sure you do it well. And I said, you know, I do, but I really, and they said, you know, it was being requested and it's, you know, not the reason why you're being hired, but you know, it sure would be nice to make the people that are asking. And I said, you know what, I'll set an intention before the song and just say that all the words that I'm putting out, you know, are not, have no energy, something like that. I'll just do that. And then the person on the phone said, yeah, whatever. Interesting, though, that an hour later I got a call, and this was just like 3 hours before the show. You know, Filippo, I listened to the words because this is the band leader saying, you were so adamant about not singing this song. And he says, wow, those words are powerful. And I said, yeah, I know. And those of you, I mean, I'm sure you all know Bad Moon Rising. I don't even want to say it, but there's a Bad Moon Rising, Troubles on the Way, Hurricane and Lightning and all that stuff. And I hope you're prepared to die and all that, you know. And so he says, I've never thought about it that way. It's such a fun, upbeat song, but you're right. And he says, but I don't know what to do now because it's already on the list and we already said we're going to do it and the band's already rehearsed it and they know your key and everything. And I said, you know what? I decided I'm going to set an intention. It's going to be fine. Let's do it. Well, when it came time to do the song, I forgot about doing the intention, to be honest with you. Because I've never done that on stage before, and I just and here comes the next song. And so I started to sing it, and as I'm singing the words, I remembered what I was singing. I felt it. And so I quickly in my head started saying, I don't mean this, or it was a weird thing because people started getting up dancing, people were singing along, and we were all in the spirit of the beat and rhythm and music of the song. But people, do we know what the words are saying and what we're doing? So I started doing that intention within myself. And the funniest thing started to happen. I started looking at myself, noticing that while I was singing, my shoulders were going up as if to say, I don't know what I'm doing up here. I started smiling like, I know, isn't this weird? Or, I mean, people that knew me in the audience, I know that I would never sing a song like that, even though I like the song per se. It was the weirdest thing, and I got to see myself, as I'm sure I've been a lot, but not having seen myself this way, out of alignment and out of congruence with myself, with my spirit, with what I'm about, with what I say, what I believe. And so no wonder when people say to me, wow, you know, listening to you sing really opens up my heart, or I feel good listening to you sing, or you made me cry, you made me heal. And I used to get that all the time, and I didn't understand why. Well, it was because now I understand more that I was in alignment. I was singing songs and words that I believed in, and my body believed them. And I was in alignment, and so my voice soared up, and the energy was felt. And here, I was singing something completely that my body had no idea what to do with. And so my body was over here, and my brain was over there, and my soul was over there, and the words were over here, and I was completely separate from the experience. And I have to say, I'm glad that it happened, because I got to see how not only words have power, but when we're doing things that we don't believe in or we don't like, which in some cases, maybe even a lot of cases, it's our jobs and our relationships, we are so out of alignment that it's hard to deliver what we're here to deliver, to be what we're here to be, because we're all divided. It was as if I was chopped up all over that stage, somebody singing over here and somebody smiling over there and somebody shrugging his shoulders over there and somebody just being really confused and somebody trying to set an intention, all these somebodies trying to happen at the same time, but not aligning. So it's interesting because I looked up the meaning afterwards, or what, not the meaning, but what it meant to a lot of people. And it's interesting to read what people have said, that it's a powerful song. It's the happiest song about doom that you've ever heard. And you know, it's interesting. We can talk for hours about it philosophically and all, but the point was, I know that I need to stay in alignment as much as I can, as much as I know, and I'm learning more and more how to every day. And that's why it's exciting, too, that it happened this weekend just before Nanice comes on the show today, because this is part of what she's all about, and helping people with the power within themselves and aligning with that power. So wanted to share that story. I'm sure all of you will chime in on Facebook and send emails about it, or Twitter, because it's a song. I agree that it's fun, but let's talk about it, and let's stay in our power and know what we're doing and what aligns with us and not. So with that, I want to remind you all that you're listening to Life Changes with Filippo, and you can hear us every Monday night here on the BBS Radio Network at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time at the moment. And you could learn more about us at www.lifechanges.ws. And again, our guest is an awakening facilitator, a master results coach, a speaker and an author, a master NLP practitioner, and she's also a member of the NLP Society, she's also a master in neurological repatterning, a performance consultant, a master hypnotist, and a member of the International Federation of Hypnosis. She does so much, including channeling as well, and crisis counseling and intuitive consulting. She has been, for over 20 years, a public speaker, and here she is with us now on our show at Life Changes with Filippo. Welcome, Nanice Ellis.
Thank you so much, Filippo. That was amazing story you told. I really love it.
I'm sure you have something to share on that.
Yeah. It's interesting because the universe or our world, the energy around us has really allowed us to get away with not being in integrity and not being in alignment for a very long time. And that's really why the world has gotten so much out of integrity, so much out of alignment. But things are changing. The energies are changing. And we don't get a chance to get away with anything anymore. And what I mean by that is, as soon as we're even a little bit out of alignment with our own personal integrity, it doesn't feel good. It just feels nasty and dirty and separated. And that's painful. And that pain is really good because that pain makes us wake up and say, wait, this is not right for me. This does not make me feel good. So then we can make better and better and better choices each time, getting more and more and more in alignment with who we really are. And that's the gift. And that's the gift. And this is where we're moving individually and collectively as a planet.
I like that. You know, I was looking forward to this because I first came to know you through my sister-in-law, Macy Vultaggio, who's been working with you and studying with you, actually.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's spoken so highly of you and shared with me some of the lessons that she's learned from or grown through you with. And so then one day she sends me this essay, or I don't know what you would call it. It's almost more like a channeling, and maybe it is, Finding Love in All the Right Places.
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready to expand your experience of pure love? And I read that, and I said, we have to have this person on the radio. And finally now we do, because let's talk about love. I've been wanting to talk to you about that essay.
Yeah.
It made me feel like I've never really loved at all.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a sad way, but in a way that said, there's a better way to love and I haven't been doing it right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And who would have thought there was a way to do love right? You know, the truth is, everything is love. So in that regard, you can't do it wrong. And if you look deep enough at even the most hateful acts, if you look deep enough, you find love. And the reason that I know this is because only love is real. So if you look deep enough, you always have to go back to love. And having said that, there are certainly ways of living love that are closer to the real love that we're talking about now, opposed to having to look for that love. Most of us have spent our entire lifetimes just trying to get our emotional needs met, the need for attention and appreciation and connection, and of course, you know, going back to love and just being seen. And these emotional needs, because we haven't met them in ourselves, run us and direct us in life. And most of our relationships are based on just trying to get our needs met. So it's like, so, you know, if you and I were in any sort of relationship and, you know, I just had this need to, you know, for you to see me or appreciate me, then I'm going to change my behavior in such a way so that you act such a way so that I get my needs met. So really what I'm doing is I'm asking you to fill me up so that I could be full. I'm not full myself. And so I don't have anything to give. So anything that I give you is really manipulative because I'm looking for something in return. The only real love and an expression of is when we are full inside. So we are so, so full inside because we love ourselves unconditionally. We accept ourselves unconditionally. We allow others to see us. And when we are that full inside, there is an abundance of love just pouring through us saturating us and overflowing. And when we give anything to anyone else, it's simply that overflow, that oversaturation. And so it doesn't cost us anything. And now we're not looking for someone else to fill us up or meet an emotional need. Instead, there's no strings attached. And this is unconditional love. There's no conditions.
And that's why I say that I question whether I've been doing love right, because in the essay you say that we have to have unconditional love for ourselves. And I know I haven't had that, and I know that I'm my own worst critic, and I know that I criticize myself all the time, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, if I don't have unconditional love for myself, what have I been giving everybody else?
Right. And so you haven't been giving anybody else anything. What you've really been doing, yeah. What you've really been doing is just trying to get them to fill you up.
Hold on, I'm crying right now. Well, surely they have felt something.
Mm-hmm. Of course, but you tell me, what have they felt?
Well, I would think that...
Are you sorry you put yourself on the spot?
Yeah. Such is Life Changes with Filippo.
Yes.
That's our show for tonight. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yes.
I think they have felt love, but I think where you're going to go with this is that maybe I've just been depleting something that I haven't had enough of myself. No?
Well, check inside. You know, I only have words and pointers, but really, you know, when we're talking about this, the real check is inside. It's that feeling, well, am I in alignment with this? Just like you had, you know, on stage, am I in alignment with this?
Mm.
So are you in alignment with loving?
Oh, I feel that I am now more than ever. And it was just the question of whether I was being unconditionally loving to myself. If I wasn't, then how could I be giving it to other people?
Right.
So it really made me stop and think, and it's helped already.
Yeah. So, you know, the question goes back to, why can't people love themselves? Why can't we just unconditionally love ourselves? Why do we need other people to love us?
That's a good question.
And I think it has to go back. It goes back to the sense of worthiness that we have been, you know, programmed since, you know, we've been in first grade just about, that our worthiness is dependent on other people. That as soon as we start school, we learn that, you know, we're either right or we're wrong, we're good or we're bad, we're accepted or we're not accepted, we're deserving or not deserving. We've succeeded or we failed, and this program runs us for our entire childhood and then well into adulthood. And yes, we have that from our schooling system. We have this from our governments, and you know, it's religions, and it's all around us, giving us messages that in order to be worthy, we have to prove ourselves, we have to measure up, we have to do something, and that tells us that, you know, we can't love ourselves unconditionally unless something external to us says that we're worthy of that love. And this is why we're always doing things in order to get other people's love.
Wow. It's a vicious cycle, isn't it?
It is a vicious cycle, but it's really easy to fix.
Oh, okay.
There's anything to fix.
Please share.
That is, yes, of course. It's about worthiness. You know, that if we have to put conditions on worthiness, whatever those conditions are, then it's not worthiness. You know, some people feel, well, I feel really worthy. Well, what would happen, you know, if that same person, you know, lost everything, would they still feel worthy? And if the answer is no, then they really don't feel or experience true worthiness in the divine form. They're experiencing conditional worthiness, which is really unworthiness. And so it's about releasing this sense that I could ever be unworthy. It's about going deep inside oneself and finding that sense of inner worthiness that's not conditioned on anyone or anything. And that's the power to change right there. That's the power to change.
You know, and Anise, this is a perfect time to be talking about this in a time where so many people have lost jobs or lost money. and have lost faith in themselves? And that is a really good question, is if we can maybe, like you said, the universe is giving us the opportunity to mm-hmm. find the worthiness in this moment and not let us get away with it anymore because we're making money, and mm-hmm. find that even now. And once we do, then it doesn't matter if we make money or don't matter. I mean, it does matter, but whether we make money or not, as far as worthiness, because we have yeah. found it even in these times.
Right, right. And very often that's what happens when we're really dependent on something. That thing will be removed from us so that we can be free of it and find ourselves without it, and we can wake up, because that's really what we're doing now. All of us, it's waking up. And the only way to wake up is to connect with our inner selves, our true divine being. And the only way to do that is to get rid of the old tapes of unworthiness or conditioned worthiness and find our intrinsic worthiness. And by doing so, that self-love, you know, it's like we can't, it's interesting because the divine loves us each so much, but we don't experience that because we have a block around our heart. And it's, you know, it's this belief of, you know, unworthiness, or, you know, that love is conditioned. And as soon as we tear down that wall by finding our own inner worthiness and begin to start loving ourselves and having compassion for ourselves, then the divine love of all can move inside of our heart and fill us up. But we have to take that first step. No one else can do it for us. And this really is the key to awakening. This is the key to transformation.
You know, this is reminding me of one of your books, I Am.
Mm-hmm.
I started reading some of the testimonials that are on your website, and I was reading how some person said, I burst out into tears. Mm-hmm. Somebody else said, you know, that I felt the love in this book, whatever, all these amazing things. And I thought, burst out into tears? I mean, come on, I'm sure it's a really good book. Mm-hmm. but burst out into tears, what's that about? Or whatever yeah. it was that she said or he said.
Yeah.
And so I started reading it just out of curiosity. That's like, yeah. right, let me see this. But I wanted to read it anyway, I have to say. And as I'm starting to read it, I started to get a lump in my throat.
And
I thought, what is it that is doing this?
Yes.
And what I came to realize, at least for me, was that the book was speaking truth that I have not mm-hmm. heard enough, that I have been longing to hear, that I've needed.
Yes.
And it was resonating.
Yes. Yes. It was in alignment with you. It spoke to you directly, to you, because it is universal truth. It's the truth within you. And the tears get released when that alignment happens, because something shifts into place within our being, and there's a release of the old that happens, and it comes through the tears.
Mm.
And by the way, when I was that book was actually channeled in about 2 or 3 days. It was a journal of my own experience that happened over the several day period of time, and I cried through the whole thing. I bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled for 2 weeks. I was crying. In fact, one day I went into Whole Foods, and the poor cashier said, "How is your day today?" And I couldn't even talk, and I just burst out crying. And the poor guy, you know, he's like 18 years old, and he's looking at me. He's like, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And I'm like, "No, I'm so happy." And I just couldn't stop crying. He doesn't ask me how my day is anymore.
Well, that's too bad for him. You know, I want to tell everybody that the book is called I Am, and that Denise actually has 7 books in total, and that one she's giving away so graciously for free if you go to her website at nanice.com, and that's spelled nanice.com. And that book is I Am, and then she's got several others. As a matter of fact, she's running a special right now that if you buy 4 of her books, the price will be $30 plus shipping and handling. So speaking of her books, I'm looking at one that I just love the title, Even Gandhi Got Hungry and Buddha Got Mad. Discover the essential secrets of living in your power, even in everyday chaos. I think that's great, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And the other one I'm looking at is The Infinite Power of You, 22 Secrets to Discovering Your Power. This is powerful stuff that we're talking about, Anise.
Yes.
We don't normally see ourselves as that powerful.
Mm-hmm. It's required. It's required now. It's no longer an option. In order to move further, in order to step ahead, in order to transform this planet and everyone on it, stepping into our power is an absolute requirement. And it happens based on what we were just talking about, finding our unconditional self-worth and loving ourselves with compassion and being a channel for that. That's how it happens.
Hmm. Wow. You know, I'm sure you get asked this a lot, but okay, so I'm changing, but how do I change the people in my life?
Yeah. We hear this quite a bit. Yeah, I hear this all the time. And it's so simple. You know, we all know that you can't change someone else. We know that. We still ask the question, how can I change someone else? Because I love them or, you know, whatever. But we can't change anybody else. What we can do is be the change we want to see in them. Be the change we want to see in them. That's it. You know, I had a workshop one day, and I had a woman ask me that question. You know, how do I help my daughter? How do I stop my daughter from being so controlling? How do I stop my daughter from being so controlling? Well, you could start by stop being controlling of your daughter. Right? Be the change that you want to see in others. It's that simple. It's that simple. If there's something that you don't like in someone else, just be that change and see what happens.
You know, so much of this is such a leap of faith. I think the analogy that like if you were in the workshop and somebody said to you, I want this and I want that, and you said to them, basically, you have to go into that room. And it's like, well, there's a lion in that room and a bear and a dinosaur and a dragon, and I won't come out of it alive. Yeah, but when you get to the other side of the other door, then you will have everything you want. Well, but no, I'm not going in there. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it feels that you are throwing us to the lion by making us stop being controlling, because if I stop being controlling, then my daughter will get even more controlling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and is that really true? If you stop being controlling, is your daughter going to get more controlling? And if somebody looks within, they realize that that's not true. You know, once that mirror is held up, then that's like, oh, and then we get to look at our own fears. Yes, there's a lion, a tiger, a bear, and, you know, some funny raccoons, you know, in that room. But I'll tell you, a greater truth is they're not only in that room, they're surrounding you now, and they're putting pressure upon you and moving you towards the corner and towards that door so that you step through. And that's how life operates. It will create pain for us. Wherever we resist, it will create pain. And we can just resist that pain for so long until we finally do step through that door, till we finally do make the change, till we finally do let go. And there's the freedom. Life will make sure that change happens, and it will do that by putting pressure and force on you until you do something different. You know, it's the analogy of being born, that, you know, they in the birth canal, and there's this lots of pressure and force and until that baby is born, and then there's freedom. It's the same thing. There's no escaping this. You could either go easy or you can make it hard for yourself. There is no escaping this. We are all being asked to wake up and become responsible for ourselves and our lives, and not just our actions, but also our thoughts and our beliefs. All of it. Because everything that we do every day affects every single person in the world. And I don't mean just a ripple effect. I mean directly. That we know enough about quantum physics to know that when something affects one, it affects the all instantaneously and equally. So if I have a hateful or angry thought right now about someone else, every being on this planet is also experiencing that on some subconscious level, and it is affecting them, and vice versa. So I can't be careless anymore with my actions, my deeds, my thoughts, my beliefs, my feelings, that I need to wake up, step up, and be responsible, because I'm the change. I'm the change. No one else is going to do it. And when we all get that, then the change has already happened, and it has. It's done. It's done. It's done. There can be no other way.
And so much like you were talking about the lady and the daughter and the control issue, we can't get upset or try and force anybody else to change in any way. It's just, we just need to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. We just need to do it. We're the only one. We're the only one that can do it. There's no one else to change. It's only us. And simply by changing ourselves, changes the world.
Wow, and you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that in reference to your book in just a second here. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Filippo Voltaggio on Life Changes with Filippo here on the BBS Radio Network, where you can hear us every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time right now. And you can learn more about us on our website at lifechanges.ws or find us on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo or Life Changes Live, our live events that we do about once a month in different cities throughout the country very soon, but at the moment it's still in California. And our guest tonight is Nanice Ellis, and she is an awakening facilitator, a master results coach, a speaker, and an author. And she is also a talk radio host herself on LA Talk Radio Monday afternoons at 4 p.m. So basically you got off of your show and came on to ours. And her show is called Chai with Nanice on LA Talk Radio Mondays at 4 p.m. And you can learn more about that as well at nanice.com. That's nanice.com. Something that I haven't mentioned yet is that she has something called The Pledge, How to Be the Difference, because we were talking about being the difference, being the change. And so she actually has a video and asks people to take a pledge to be that difference. And there also on the website, you can sign up for Divine Spirations that are daily emails that she channels and sends out that are encouraging and inspiring and positive and all that good stuff and life-changing, I know. So that all having been said, you're one of your seven books, Even Gandhi Got Hungry and Buddha Got Mad, Denise.
Yeah.
That resonated with me so well because I have to say that I had a hard time stepping into this place of talking about the kinds of things that we do because what I've seen, a lot of people that have stepped into this place, they've gone into their ego, and then they've done exactly the things that they didn't, that they're not preaching, or they're not walking their talk, and then people start talking about them saying, you know, well, look at him, he's not doing that, or he's not doing that. Well, I already know I'm not doing that, so I don't want to put myself in a place where everybody gets to see that I'm not, I'm trying, but I'm not there yet. So Even Gandhi Got Hungry and Buddha Got Mad, that's a book of yours. Tell me, how does this relate?
Yeah. So, you know, we can't help but be spiritual. We're all on the spiritual path. You're on the spiritual path, but it's your choice how you walk that path. The book is really about unraveling our stories. And in order to unravel our stories of who we think we are, we need to just sink into who we are right now, and that includes our humanness. And so, you know, it's very easy, especially if you've been, you know, reading all the spiritual books and going to all the workshops and everything. You know how you should be spiritually. You know how you should show up. And a lot of people, they use that as an excuse. They call it a spiritual bypass. So it's like, well, I know I should be unconditionally loving, so I'm just going to, instead of, you know, really feeling what I'm feeling, I'm just going to turn the other cheek and, you know, unconditionally love this person. Well, you're not. You're not loving that person. A more authentic approach would just be to feel your anger and see what it really is and allow the fear to emerge inside of you and the judgments to clear themselves, to show themselves to you. And in looking at them and shedding light on them or allowing the light to be shed on them, they clear. They clear. And instead of, you know, pretending to be unconditionally loving because it's the spiritual and right thing to do, suddenly you do become that way. You do become that way. You know, Gandhi Got Hungry and Buddha Got Mad gives us permission to be where we are now in order to unravel ourselves and the illusions of ourselves and the pain and the suffering so that we can rebirth ourselves and truly, authentically, and effortlessly be that light in the world.
I like that. As a matter of fact, in one of the chapters that you so beautifully title Dirty Laundry, you say, when you release your made-up meanings of how things should be and how people should act, the real meaning of life begins to emerge, and you are swept away with the beauty and wonderment all around you. How often do we say it should have been, or it should be, or it better be,
right,
and miss what it really is, which might actually be better?
Yes, it always is.
Oh.
It always is.
That's
my mom, I picked up my mom earlier, and one of the things that she said was, I'm interpreting that, you know, that I think you look upset. Are you upset? And I said, no, you know, that's just your interpretation. And she's like, well, you know, when we had this conversation, and she was like, well, I guess that's what always gets me into trouble, that when I make my own interpretations, they're usually wrong. And it's true. And then that causes her pain and separation. I've seen my mom many times. She has interpreted a situation one way when it wasn't that way at all, and it brought her great pain and her feeling that she was not loved, and it wasn't true. There was no need to suffer. It was all made up in her interpretation, which was based, of course, on her own stories and her own filters.
You know, we're on the same wavelength here, Denise, because in The Infinite Power of You, your book where you talk about the 22 secrets to discovering your power, number 20 is, I let go of the energy scattering distractions of resentment and anger. Mm-hmm. And in that chapter, you say, if you were to hear my mother talk about are we on the same wavelength or what?
Mm-hmm.
If you were to hear my mother talk about the woman who, quote, did her wrong 40 years ago, you would think it happened just yesterday. Why do we hang on to such grievances so long? Is it because we felt wronged, or because we still feel wronged?
Yeah. And my mom is going through her own process of awakening now, and so that was one of the reasons that we even had a conversation about this today, because years ago there was no conversation, and when I wrote The Infinite Power, there wasn't either. So to show you how we are her awakening. Yeah, it's about powerlessness. So it's like something happens, you know, 4 or 40 years ago, and I felt like somebody took something away from me, so I felt powerless. And all these years, you know, I've been holding this grudge or this resentment because I've been trying to get my power back. But really, that has just held me in a place of powerlessness, creating the very thing that I'm trying to overcome and change. You know, every time we have a resentment towards someone else, or we feel as a victim to them, what we're really doing is giving them our power. We're handing our energy away from ourselves and to them, the very thing that we don't want to do. And by the way, there's no such thing as victim. That is one of the biggest stories of the millennium. There's probably a lot of people out there that, wait, I am a victim, and this happened, and that happened, and you know what? No. When you wake up and remember who you really are and how powerful you really are, you will begin to see the idea and concept of victim does not exist and never, ever did. And even when somebody, you know, said, well, I'm a survivor. Well, in order to be a survivor of anything, you have to hold yourself in the place of victim, so you're still holding on to that energy. And it doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve anyone. And if you have the energy of victim, that also means that you need to attract a perpetrator in order to victimize you. And so it's being responsible for that dynamic. So if I play the part of victim, I'm also responsible for creating and needing a perpetrator in order to victimize me to fulfill my story. So I'm responsible for the actions done upon me based on the stories that I tell about myself, others, and life. This is the high level of responsibility that we're really talking about here. And this is what transforms the world. And is it easy? No. It's probably not easy to do, but I'll tell you, the way that we've been doing it has been causing so much pain. It's been a lot less easy. Mm-hmm. And it's time to finally break through this and get to this place where life truly is loving, harmonious, and effortless. It's time. We know it's time.
You know, I am so glad you're talking about this, because you're reminding me of something that I had forgotten about that just happened a little over a week ago. And we, as you're saying, we're already putting in effort over here. What if we put it over here where we think it's hard, but will actually, hard or not, will actually give us more fruit because we're actually putting in the effort already. And the thought that that came to me was this, that a week or so ago, I was driving home and there was a long stoplight with a lot of cars in front of me. And I watched a man walk to the light, to the stoplight. The red, green, and yellow one, not the white light. And he was walking kind of excitedly, or at least his energy I was feeling was just normal energy. Mm-hmm. And he had a piece of paper or a piece of cardboard in his hand, and I wasn't sure what that was for, because his energy was not of what I would have expected somebody like that to be, and I'll explain myself in a second. So he got up to the corner, put down his stuff, and all of a sudden turned into a completely different person and became sorrowful and sad and meek and humble and pathetic and held up a sign saying, I need food.
Wow.
Money for food. And as I drove by, I thought, oh my goodness, how much effort did he put in to look like that?
Yes.
And are we part of the problem? Because if he stood there all excited and happy and jumping up and down, would we say, you don't look like you need our money? Or who knows, maybe we would say, now there's a guy I'd like to give a job to.
Yeah.
And maybe then life would change for him.
Yeah. That's a beautiful story.
We're already putting in the effort to live the miserable way we're living.
Mm-hmm. A lot of effort. It really takes an enormous amount of effort to be miserable, to stay in fear, to stay in a hatred and separation. Now, we're either in separation or we're in connection or communion. It's black and white. It's not one way or the other way. Our hearts are either open or they're closed. If our hearts are closed, even a little bit, they're closed. They're either open or they're closed. And, you know, we've been closing our hearts and protecting ourselves because we've been so afraid. But the amount of effort that takes is life-draining. And, yes, it can be painful to open your heart. I know, it really can be. But on the other side of that is absolute freedom. It's what you've been looking for. It's what everybody has been looking for.
Nanise, in the few short minutes that we have left, talk to us about that for unum, like you were talking to us about the power that we are and how we get into that place. Could you give us some tools that could help us get there sooner than later?
Yeah, the place of freedom.
And power, absolutely.
And power, freedom, because they really are one and the same thing. Freedom and power are one and the same thing. Yeah. It means everything that we've been talking about tonight and more. It means really standing up and taking responsibility for yourself and every area of your life, that there's no area that's in the darkness, in the shadows, that you become in integrity in all these areas of your life, and particularly inside your own mind. That inner critic is not serving anyone, because every time you criticize yourself, that is affecting everyone on the planet. That energy is affecting each and every one, and in that way, you are creating a vibration and a tendency. It's time to wake up and be responsible for every thought we think, every action we take, and even all our beliefs and feelings for that matter. It's time to make different choices and choose in the direction of love and connection. And this means, you know, small things every single day. It means, you know, holding the door open for the person behind you in line. It means, you know, looking at somebody, really looking at them, allowing them to see you, you know, saying please and thank you and how was your day, and really meaning it. It's a simple little things. If we would just take the time to look into each other's eyes, just really look at each other, that in itself will trigger the memory of who we really are and help us to awaken at much, much deeper and faster levels than ever before. It's time. And most of all, it's about getting out of your comfort zone, because I promise you, whatever it is that you want in your life is not in your comfort zone, because if it were, you are already have it. It's time. It's time. And especially to give compassion for yourself and forgiveness to yourself. And what forgiveness really means is simply giving it up, whatever it is, to a higher power and letting go.
You know, I've heard the phrase before, giving up the cross, and I've also heard jokingly, Jesus called and he wants his cross back. He needs the wood or something. And in your book, again, Even Gandhi Got Hungry, you have a chapter you call Jesus Rejoiced on the Cross. So we can't even use that as an excuse.
Right.
You say there are no negative experiences, only the stories we make up about them.
Right. Right. That's it. Everything is perfect and divine and really conspiring on our behalf for our awakening and our freedom. Everything.
Yes, there is a conspiracy going on, and it's to help us have that awakening.
It's a divine conspiracy.
And that divine conspiracy has brought you and I together, and watch out, world.
Yes. And I love you so much, Philip. Oh, I love you, your darling.
Too. And I know now why I've been so excited for this interview, because I knew it was going to be like this. So. Here it is. Well, I feel so empowered and so much more. I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing. And I thank you. And I want to remind everybody that Nanise has her own talk show where she talks about all this and more, called Chai with Nanise. Great name, by the way, on LA Talk Radio Mondays at 4. And also, you can go to nanise.com to sign up for her Divine Inspirations, or sign up and take the pledge, or download the I Am book, or buy one of the 7 books. And remember, she's doing a special 4 books for $30 plus shipping and handling. So I thank my sister-in-law, Macy Bultadjo, for introducing us, Nanise, and I thank you so much and for honoring us by being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you, darling. Thank you so much.
We will meet again soon, I know.
Absolutely.
I look forward to it. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Wow. I wonder if I should have said Chai Chai, since that's the name of her radio show. But that was very exciting, and from that energy and power, we move to the next segment with Peely Donahue and her talk on how to be the change. Or is that the title? We're still working on it.
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
It's shorter than last week.
All right.
What a great show. And the shift is happening right here and right now. And the news is full of negative reports like earthquakes, wars, plane crashes, and nonsensical deaths. However, there's so much good that's also happening. And I'm surprised and thrilled to report that CNN leads the way in reporting the good. If you go to CNN.com and put CNN Heroes into the search box, you will be taken to a very special section of the website. They are providing us an opportunity to discover that ordinary people are stepping up and are doing life-changing and heroic things. CNN is telling us their stories, and the people are being honored for their heroic contributions. For example, there is a young man in India who quit his dream job with a 5-star hotel and now dedicates himself to preparing and delivering food to the abandoned, mentally ill, homeless, and abused elders in his city. He gave up an extremely successful career to care for society's homeless misfits, and he tells us that he's happier than he had ever imagined that he could be. Mr. Krishnan is definitely a hero. In 2002, he was a bright, young, award-winning chef on his way to an elite job in Switzerland when he decided that he needed to make a quick visit home to see his family. It was on this trip that he saw something so horrific that it changed his life forever and the lives of thousands of homeless people. What he saw is still hard for me to wrap my mind around, and I wonder how many thousands of people had witnessed this kind of thing before he did, and yet went on about their lives without giving it a second thought. Mr. Krishnan says this about his experience: I saw a very old man eating his own human waste for food. Haunted by the image, Krishnan quit his job within the week and returned home for good, convinced of his new destiny. I was literally shocked. for a second. After that, I started feeding that man and decided this is what I should do for the rest of my lifetime. Wow. That spark and that inspiration is a driving force still inside me as a flame to serve all of the mentally ill, destitutes, and people who cannot take care of themselves. Since Krishnan founded his non-profit trust in 2003, he has served more than 1.2 million meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, to India's homeless and destitute. Krishnan's day begins at 4 a.m., and he and his team cover nearly 125 miles in a donated van, routinely working in temperatures topping 100 degrees Fahrenheit. He seeks out the homeless under bridges and in the nooks and crannies between the city's temples. The hot meals he delivers are simple. He loves his job. He carries a comb, scissors, and a razor, and is trained in 8 haircut styles so that along with a fresh shave, these provide dignity to those he serves. He says many of the homeless seldom know their names or origins, and none has the capacity to beg, ask for help, or even offer thanks. Even though they're often paranoid and hostile because of their conditions, Krishnan says that this only steadies his resolve to offer help. The panic, suffering of the human hunger is the driving force of me and my team members, he said. I get this energy from the people. The food which I cook, the enjoyment which they get, is the same energy. I see the soul. I want to save my people. He sleeps in his modest kitchen with his few co-workers, and since investing his entire savings of $2,500 in 2002, he has taken no salary, and he subsists with the help of his once unsupportive parents, who had spent a fortune on his education, and they just couldn't understand what he was doing. After many arguments and his mother crying out, "Why are you doing this?" he begged her to come and see for herself. After that experience, his mother said, "You feed all those people. The rest of the lifetime I am here, I will feed you." Despite the demands and the scarcity of comforts his lifestyle affords, he is enjoying his life because he's found his mission and purpose. He says, "I have a passion. I enjoy my work. I want to live with my people." If this story has touched your heart and you would like to help, go to CNN.com and search CNN Heroes, and you will find Krishnan's story, along with the stories of other global heroes and heroines. In fact, if there is someone you know who, like this inspiring young man, is making a difference in his or her community, you can nominate him or her to be one of the CNN Heroes, and at the end of the year, one of the nominees will be voted Hero of the Year. Better yet, I urge each of you to examine your lives and see if there is something, big or little, that you are willing to do to become the change you wish to see in the world. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you've been waiting and looking for. You are the only one who can end your suffering, and you can only do this by beginning a love affair with yourself. Choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making elegant choices, and never forget that you are powerful beyond measure and that you are love. You are lovable and you are loved.
Wow. What a great story. What an exciting show. If I can say so myself. You know, it's so funny. The engineer Seth and I were talking at the beginning of the show, and he asked, "Who's your guest tonight?" And I told him Nanise and told him what she does. And he says, "You know, it's always scary to me when you have a guest like that, that when I call them," because he calls them and then puts them through on the air if they're not here in studio with us, and he says that I'll want to talk to them for an hour and forget there even is a show. And I said, "Trust me, I understand." That just goes to show him and us all that he is doing what he loves. And that certainly applies here, because I would be talking to these people regardless. I go to events and I go to seminars and workshops, and I facilitate study groups and work groups and meetings and all that myself as well, as does Dorothy, and we do this. So we would be, this is what we do. So having these beautiful people on our show, yes, it becomes actually what this show was always intended to be, a conversation. And it's a conversation that elevates, that moves us forward, that entertains at the same time. It's very serious, and yet we don't necessarily take ourselves seriously, because sometimes we're learning that what we're learning might not even be true tomorrow, but it serves us today in the best way we know how. And then when we have new information, it's okay to change, because you know what? Life changes, and it's the only constant. And as soon as we embrace that, then we can look at ourselves and laugh or enjoy and love and grow and allow each other to change, allow each other that space to take on these new lessons, to take on these new changes, and not be so rigid. Now is not the time to be rigid. And as our guest Nanise so eloquently said, and for all of you who missed some of that or want to hear it again, I remind you that you can go to www.lifechanges.ws and hear this show all over again in just a couple of days, and share it with your friends. There's some powerful stuff that's happening here, and I am so happy to be a part of it. So again, we thank our guest Nanise, and we also look forward to our next week's show when we have Rabbi Berg on of the Kabbalah Center. He's a scholar and author and a spiritual leader of social consciousness. He is followed by Hollywood's elite, including people like Madonna and Ashton Kutcher, and you'll see why. There's some good reason why. And we look forward to having him on the show next week. Remember, you can keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us on our website and on our Facebook pages and our personal pages, Twitter, on YouTube. My goodness, the list goes on and on and on. And you can connect with us there. And I have to say, YouTube. We didn't get to film today's show because our guest was not able to be in studio, but you can see some of the shows that we have filmed, and you can see the expressions on our faces as we go through this process, the laughter, the love, the shock, the surprise, the enjoyment, and it's quite exciting to be filmed that way and put it out there in the world. And for that, we thank Buzz Bros and Ken Sheets of Buzz Bros for doing such a great job with that. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles and Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, along with our segment hosts and producers, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark Lejeur, and our engineer, Seth, thank you for joining us in being part of this world, being part of this show, and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.